ego.
When everyone had found their seats around the table, Catherine announced the change in direction. Okay, we're going to move all the way to the final dysfunction, but we'll be revisiting the fear of vulnerability topic and the need for trust many, many times again over the course of the next month. If anyone isn't looking forward to that, you'd better brace yourself. Everyone assumed she was talking to Mikey. None of them could have guessed that another member of the team was struggling as much as she was. Catherine described the next dysfunction by going to the whiteboard and writing the phrase, inattention to results, at the top of the triangle. We're going to the top of the chart now to talk about the ultimate dysfunction, the tendency of team members to seek out individual recognition and attention at the expense of results. And I'm referring to collective results, the goals of the entire team. Nick asked, is this about ego?
Well, I suppose that's part of it, agreed Catherine, but I'm not saying that there's no place for ego on a team. The key is to make the collective ego greater than the individual ones.
I'm not sure I understand what this has to do with results, Jeff remarked.
Well, when everyone is focused on results and using those to define success, it is difficult for ego to get out of hand. No matter how good an individual on a team might be feeling about his or her situation, if the team loses, everyone loses.
Catherine could see that a few of her reports were not quite with her yet, so she took another approach. I told you yesterday that my husband is a basketball coach at St. Jude's High School in San Mateo.
He's a damn good basketball coach, explained Nick. He's been getting job offers from colleges since I was in high school, and every year he turns them down. He's a legend.
Catherine was proud of her husband and enjoyed Nick's commentary.
Yeah, I suppose he is something of an anomaly, and he's certainly good at what he does. Anyway, he is all about the team. And as good as his teams are, few of his kids play ball at big colleges because, frankly, they're not all that talented. They win because they play team basketball, and that usually allows them to beat bigger, faster, and more talented groups of players.
Nick was nodding his head with the certainty of someone who had lost to St. Jude's many times.
Well, every once in a while, Ken, that's my husband, gets a player on his team who doesn't really care about results, or at least not the results of the team. I remember a kid a few years ago who was interested only in his own statistics and whether he received individual recognition, all-league, picture in the paper, that sort of stuff. If the team lost, he'd be in a good mood as long as he was getting his points. And even when the team won, he would be unhappy if he didn't score enough.
Jan was curious. What did your husband do about him?
Catherine smiled, eager to tell them more about Ken.
That's the interesting thing. This kid was without a doubt one of the most talented players on the team. But Ken benched him. The team played better without him, and he eventually quit.
Harsh, remarked J.R.
Yeah, but he came out the next year with a very different attitude and went on to play for St. Mary's College after he graduated. He'll tell you now that it was the most important year of his life.
Jan was still curious.
Do you think most people like that can change?
Catherine didn't hesitate.
No. For every kid like that one, there are 10 who never made it.
The group seemed sobered by the definitive response, and more than one of them were thinking about Mikey at that moment.
And as harsh as that may sound, Ken always says that his job is to create the best team possible, not to shepherd the careers of individual athletes, and that's how I look at my job.
Jeff decided to ask the group a question. Anyone here play team sports in high school or college?